Okay, today we're continuing in the third parak of Maseches Bikurim, and today we are learning Mishnayos, Zayin, and Ches, two very straightforward Mishnayos, again, that continue to describe the process of bringing Bikurim. So we were just discussing the Mikra Bikurim. So the Mishnah tells us, Purishona, Kol Misha Yodea Likros Korei. Originally, when they would bring the Bikurim, if you knew how to say the Mikra Bikurim, so you would say it, V'kol Misha Yodea Likros Makronoso, and if you didn't know how to read, they would say it for you, meaning they would dictate it to you, word for word. They would say, repeat after me. And they'd go through the whole parsha, word for word, like it says in the Torah. So not everyone was so educated, not everyone was literate, not everyone knew how to read it. But the problem was, not everyone was comfortable in their own skin. A lot of people were embarrassed that they didn't know how to read it. So nimnu milahavi. So over time, people would stop bringing Bikurim because they were embarrassed for other people to realize that they didn't know how to read. So skinu shir makrinus mishayodaya ve'a. So they started treating everybody the same, that they would be makra the bikurim for everybody. Even those people who were talmid chachamim and who knew how to read and knew how to say it, people could have even, it didn't matter. You could know it by heart, you could know every drushas chazal on the psukim, it doesn't matter. That was the process, that was the system, so that we wouldn't discourage people from bringing bikurim in the future, which is fascinating. There are a number of halachos like that, where we just make everybody the same in order not to embarrass anybody. There's a gemara in the beginning of Ksubas that says that it used to be that people would spend a certain amount of money on burial shrouds, on tachrichin for their relatives, and if you were very rich, they'd spend more money, but it got to a point where it was ridiculous. People were spending so much money that no one could afford a Jewish funeral anymore, and people were running away and leaving their mason for the community to bury and take care of, and that's obviously not right. So they made a takana. Rav Gamliel Zaken, I think it says, was Noeg Bizayim Ba'atzmo, that he was the first one that said that even though he's very rich, he's just going to be buried in simple white shrouds. And ever since then, we only bury people in simple white shrouds. I think this is what the poskim point out, why the minhag is that under a chuppah, the Masada Kiddushin says the Birchas Erisin, right? It's a question of what exactly the Birchas Erisin is, but what kind of bracha it is, but it might very well be a Birchas HaMitzvah. And if it is a Birchas HaMitzvah, then it's certainly not the Masada Kiddushin's mitzvah, it's the Chassan's mitzvah. So why on earth is the Masada Kiddushin the one that's saying the bracha? Because not every Chassan knows how to say the bracha. Chassanim have a hard enough time getting through the Hareyat Mekudeshus Libetvazo Kedas Moshe Yisrael. So we have the Masada Kiddushin say the bracha on behalf of the chassan and kala. That's what the Nedibuta writes in the Tshuva. What if you have a chassan that's deaf? If it's really his bracha, can the Masada Kiddushin recite the bracha for him if he's deaf? But typically, we just don't want to embarrass anybody, so the Masada Kiddushin recites the bracha. Similar idea is in Mishnah Ches, that Hashirim mevim bukreim b'kolosu shel kesef v'shel zahav, that the wealthy people would bring bikurim in gold and silver baskets, in these fancy baskets. Vanim v'inosam b'salin etzarm shel rav kluva. Poor people would bring it in these baskets that were made out of branches and very cheap material, klufa means peeled, like peeled branches, because that made them look nicer when you peeled the bark off of them. Now the poor people gave the baskets with the bikurim to the kohanim, whereas the rich people would just give the baskets to the would just give the bikurim to the kohanim and take the baskets back. So this is a perfect example, Chazal point out, of the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, because the rich only actually had to give the fruit that was contained within the basket, but the poor, since the baskets were nothing anyway, since they were just made of reeds anyway, and they costed very little, they were given, the baskets themselves were given to the Kohanim. So that's often what happens, that basar ani azalani yusar, something like that, Chazal, such an expression. Yeah, basar anya azlani yusa. So to quickly review, Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin told us that originally anyone who knew how to do the Mikra Bikurim would do it. Anyone who didn't know how to do it, they would dictate it to him word for word. But then they were afraid people would be too embarrassed to bring the Bikurim, so they just had everybody have it dictated to them word for word. And Mishnah Ches told us that even though that was a low plug, in as far as the baskets, they didn't make a low plug. The rich people would bring Bikurim in very, very fancy baskets, poor people in very simple baskets, and when the poor people gave the Bikurim, they would actually have to give the basket as well to the Kohanim. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Paragimel Mishnah Tes.